We will look into that, but I want to bring those, as I said, on Sunday morning, so Lord willing, felt the Lord would have me to do that. James chapter number 1. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
I think everybody found it. Let's all stand, and we'll read the first 12 verses, okay? James chapter number 1. You follow as I read aloud, and we'll read the first 12 verses together. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. But the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with the burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. And we'll end our reading here tonight. And I'm not going to elaborate on all 12 verses. I'll just look in, the Lord willing, verse 2, 3, and 4. And then we'll kind of close with a look at verse number 12. Let's bow our heads together. Father, thank you for the word of God. And thank you for the privilege that we have to own a copy of the Word of God. And I pray that we would tonight, as we have the Word of God open before us, that we would dismiss from our minds all things that would hinder us or cause us not to give your Word our absolute, undivided attention. I pray that your Holy Spirit would speak to us. Speak through me your Word. Give me wisdom to preach the Word of God. Power. And God, help us to be spirit-filled as the word goes forth. Me, spirit-filled as it goes forth from me. And this congregation of people, spirit-filled as they receive your word, may we receive it tonight, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. And may we yield to its teaching. We open ourselves to your word. God, we humble ourselves. And we pray that you would do a work in our hearts that would help us as we lead our lives for you. Use us to be a testimony. And we will thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. James chapter number 1. Last week, we touched on the fact of two things. We talked about who's writing and who's being written to. And that was in verse number 1, James. Now, I believe that this was the half-brother of the Lord Jesus Christ, the brother of Jude. And he refers to himself in verse number 1, not as the half-brother, but he refers to himself as a servant. He humbled himself. He grew up in the home. And I think that's fascinating. We looked in the scripture and we saw where many of his brethren, they did not believe on him until after his resurrection. But they did believe on him, and they were accompanying those 120 which were in the upper room in Acts chapter number 1. And God used them in a mighty way, there's no doubt. Well, I believe that is this James. And he's writing, and he's writing to the tribes. He's writing to people, to Jews that had accepted the Messiah as the Savior. The 12 tribes that were scattered abroad, they were being persecuted, they were dispersed because of their faith in Jesus Christ. So he's writing to a people, and this is very important to understand the The purpose of the writing of this book, it's important to understand the context of why he goes right into people having trouble, people being burdened, people having perplexities in life. He said, I'm writing to a people that were persecuted, that were scattered, that are running, that are being attacked, a persecution for their faith. I'm writing to that people. And he said, I send you greeting. And then he said in verse number two, I want you to think about this as you write this down, the presence of trouble. There's some key words here, and we're going to look at each one of them, because if we're not careful, and I know I'm this way, and I'm going to assume you are, perhaps you're not, but I'm going to assume that many of us are this way, we can be reading through the scripture, and if we're not careful, we'll read words, or we'll read phrases, or we'll read verses, and we really won't stop and think, what is that saying to me? Sometimes we have to ask ourselves, what is that saying, period? What is that saying? Because we run across words and we don't look into those words and we don't study them out. And I think it's a great thing to understand to what the words mean so that we can get the interpretation of the scripture. Look at verse number two. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Now, when I first read that verse of scripture, there's a lot of things that come to my mind. Number one, I think about that's unnatural. That's unnatural. I don't know many people. Actually, I don't know that I know anyone that is happy, that is just joyful because of trouble in their life. Haven't met anyone like that today. I don't think I've met anyone like that this week. There's not very many people that you'll meet in your life that know how to apply this verse of scripture to their life. What is James telling us to do? Now, he's speaking to the brethren. He's speaking to a select group of people. He's not writing this to everyone. He said, brethren, you who are saved, he said, look at it now, count it all joy. Now, we're going to look at some of these words. Count it all joy when, that's the first word I want you to look at. When, okay? The presence of trouble. He didn't say if, all right? He didn't say, you know what? As a Christian, you may run across some trouble in your life. That's not what he said. He said, you're going to run into some trouble. Now, Job had already settled this many years ago in Job 14, verse number 1. He said, man born of a woman, he said, his days are full of trouble. All right? Jesus said, in this world, in John 16, ye shall have tribulation. So, it's not a matter if, it's when. And so, here's what James is telling us. He said, when? Now remember, who's he writing to? He's writing to Jewish believers, the 12 tribes that had been dispersed, that had been scattered, that were on the run because of their faith. They were being persecuted. And so he's not writing to a group of people that are living in the bed of ease. He's writing to a group of people that are being persecuted for their faith, that understand what trouble is. And so James is writing, and listen, the Spirit of God, knowing that you and I would trust Jesus one day and knowing that we would live our lives and lead our lives as believers, he said, this is a message for you. You don't have to be a part of the 12 tribes, right? You don't have to be being persecuted as a Jew who has turned from your Jewish religion to Christianity, that has received Jesus as the Messiah. If you have received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you're saved, that does not end your trouble. It does not end your trouble. In many ways, it begins a new set of them. Yeah, you're going to have trouble. Now, there's something, so I want you to think about that word, okay? The first thing here, the presence of trouble. When, not if. You're going to have troubles in life. Now, brethren, listen. We ought to be very, very careful and selective of who we listen to and read after. These prosperity people, now listen, you guard against this stuff. These people that are out there telling you that if you'll sow a seed and you'll do this and do that, that good things are going to happen to you. You know? And that if you'll do this, that, now that you're saved, that everything's going to be positive. Listen, the Bible nowhere teaches that. The Bible doesn't teach that. All right? Now, well, I'll tell you what the Bible does teach. The Bible teaches that when you're saved, you will go through the storm, but you'll never go through them alone. When you're saved, that doesn't prevent us from going through the storm. But what it does, guarantee, I'll never go through another hardship alone. Never. Now, it doesn't guarantee I won't go through another hardship. You understand this. But what it does guarantee is that I have a come alongside, a paracletos, a comforter. Amen. And he will go through these things with me. Right? He will never leave us, brethren, nor forsake us. And so here's what James is saying. You're going to have trouble. The presence of trouble. When? You see it there? When? Now, when what? Look at what he said in verse number 2. When you fall into diverse, look at this next word, temptations. Now, what does this mean? Well, this is a different wording than we find over in Galatians when it talked about the brother falling, needing restoration. This is a different word. It's even a different word if you look here in chapter number 1 and verse number 13. Notice this word. Chapter 1, verse 13 of James. You see it there? Let no man say when he is, you see that next word there? Tempted. All right? Same root word as we have in verse 2, temptation. But they have different meaning. Let no man say when he is tempted that he's tempted of God. For God tempteth no man, neither can he be tempted. All right? But every man is tempted when he is enticed and drawn away of his own lust. Is that what the word says? That's what the word says. But now, see, we have two different words here. Let me explain something to you. Go back to verse number 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. These are things that God allows. These are trials. Trials. These are difficulties. These are challenges. Troubles. Troubles in life. So he said, when you fall into, listen, he's not saying count it all joy when you fall into the snare. That's not what he's saying. See, that's the word, when you get over here to verse number 13, that word there, it means, and I've written it down here, I looked it up, it means varied types of enticement, luring. So in verse number 13, let no man say when he is lured or when he is enticed. And the word, if you'll look in verse 13, let no man say when he is tempted or enticed or lured, I am tempted or enticed of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. See that? And enticed. So, here's the difference. Satan tempts us. Entices, tries to draw and lure us. Why? To bring out the worst in us, the base part of man. We're depraved, brethren. We're depraved. Oh, preacher, I wouldn't do that. You don't know what you wouldn't do. You don't know what you wouldn't do. Right? We're going to read about a man here in just a moment. All right? So this tempted, drawn away, enticed, lured. But here in verse number 2, this word is trial, trouble, perplexity, challenged. Now listen, every person in here goes through those. Right? Every one of us go through them. Every one of us. So in verse number 2, my brethren, talking to Christians, count it all joy. When? Now, you're going to have them. The presence of trouble. When you fall into divers temptations, you're going to have trouble. You're going to have some challenges, some distress in life. But now, what kind? Look at that word before it. It's a word we rarely use today. Diverse. Now, when we think of divers, we think of scuba diving and, you know, somebody with a mask and, right, tanks on their back. But this word is a very interesting word. We're going to look at to get a full meaning of this word, and this is the key that unlocks the next few verses of Scripture. This is a very important word, so I want you to listen very carefully. This word divers, it comes from the word that we get various, all right? Different kinds of troubles. You see, there's all kinds of troubles. that people encounter in life. And when you begin to look this word up, it actually has something to do with colors. Now listen carefully. It's a picture of an artist with the palette. You know what that is. The palette is the board that the artist used, and it's got all these colors of paint to paint with. Troubles, many various, many colored. The red color of maybe rage and anger, conflict, right? What about the blue color of discouragement, anxiety? The yellow color of disease and maybe sickness. The black color of sorrow and fear and even death. See, listen, this is what James is saying. You may not have the color of trouble that I have, and I may not have the color of trouble that they have, but we all have trouble. You understand that? Just because my trouble is not like your trouble doesn't mean I don't have trouble. And just because your trouble is not the color of my trouble doesn't mean that you don't have trouble. We all have trouble. Now, I believe that there's something being taught here. People have trouble for different reasons. And what the Spirit of God is telling James to do is remind us that we need to deal graciously with one another. Because you never know what a person's going through. See, you never know what they've been through. You might think, well, you know, this is not working.
All right, we're going to try that. Let's see if that'll... All right, here we go. So the color of this trouble is black. The black box. But we just corrected that, amen? Okay, so you never know. You never know. Always keep that in mind. Give people the benefit of the doubt. And I'm speaking to myself here, all right? Sometimes we think we know. But brethren, I'm going to tell you, there's a lot more we don't know than we do know. Especially when it's dealing with other people. Sometimes there's things I don't know that's dealing with me. And I certainly don't want to get into the mindset that I know when it's dealing with others. And so we need to be cautious. And this is what James is saying. The presence of trouble. You're going to have trouble, number one. All right, you're going to have it. When? And it's going to be temptation, trouble, trial, testing. All right? And it's going to be divers, many colored. Now, Peter gives us, he cracks the door a little bit. You think Peter knew anything about trouble? Turn over just a couple of pages to 1 Peter chapter 1. And it's amazing to me that Peter, in his first epistle, in the first chapter, he addresses this and he uses a word very similar. Now, we're going to come back to this word in a moment, but I want you to see what Peter's saying here. Now, you say, preacher, why do I have to have trouble? Well, when you began to look this word divers. Now, people say, well, you know, we shouldn't have to look words up. Oh, I'm glad we do. I'm glad we do. Because when you go to study the derivatives of words and you find out what these words come from, it gives you it opens up a whole new... The Greek language was so complex that not just one English word would fill in many times. It's kind of like the word love, right? You know, there's eros, and there's phileo, and there's agape. And this word divers, it opens up a whole vast wealth of knowledge of what James is trying to tell us. Now watch what Peter does. 1 Peter chapter 1, look if you would in verse number 6. Wherein ye greatly rejoice. Watch it now. Though now for a season... Now look at this next little phrase. If need be, ye are in heaviness through, not divers temptations, manifold temptations. Now, when you take that word divers and you take that word manifold, they come from the very same root word. And I'm not trying, I just want you to see something here, okay? What is God teaching us here? Notice the wording here. You say, preacher, why do I have to have trouble? When you look at that word divers, it also means for future reference. All right? It's various, and there's a future result. Manifold. That means various, just like divers. Now, what's Peter saying here? Look at it again, verse number 6. He said, Wherefore, now, almost exactly what James was saying. Remember what James said? Brethren, I want you to count it what? All joy. Now, what's Peter saying? Wherein you greatly rejoice. In other words, they're both talking about rejoicing. Rejoicing what? Rejoicing because everything's going great and everything's falling in place and nothing's going wrong in your life? Neither man is saying that. Both of them are saying this. You need to get rejoicing when things start going south. When you are being tested. When you are being tried. Why? Look at this little phrase here, and I want you to put parentheses around it. Number one, it's just for a season. Now, no Christian's life is going to be made up of nothing but troubles. And so don't you try to make yourself believe that, and for sure, don't you let the devil get you to believe that. Say amen with me. No Christian's life is going to be nothing but trouble. It takes two mountains to make a valley. Say amen with me. So it's only for a season. Isn't that what Peter said? And look at this next phrase, and this is what I want you to put parentheses by, if need be. God knows what He needs to do in my life, and God knows what He needs to do in your life to get us where we need to be. And God knows, listen, God knows if the preaching of the Word and the exhortation of a preacher or a Sunday school teacher or a godly man or a godly parents or a godly friend will not get us there, God will allow a storm or a trial to rouse us and wake us, and if need be, to get us there. What is God most concerned about? God is not most concerned about my happiness. God is most concerned about my holiness. And if need be, God's going to allow this in my life to strengthen my faith. Amen. To conform me, to conform you into the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. That's why God saved us. Yes. Now, how's He going to do that? He said it's going to be by having us through manifold temptations. All right? Now, we're going to come back to that word manifold. It's very important. It means many colored. It means various types. Now let's go back to James 1, and I have a couple of thoughts, and then we'll come back to Peter and close. James chapter 1. My brethren, count it all joy when, this is the presence of trouble, you fall into divers temptations, divers, various color, many types. All right? There's one more word I've got to look at before we leave verse number 2. Look at that word count. It's an accountant term. It's a banking term. We have a few bankers in our fellowship. We have a few people who think they are, but we actually have a few people that are. Amen. Few bankers. Benny's not a banker, but I would trust him. Amen. He's good with numbers. This word count is an accounting term. And I looked it up. And this is what it means. It means you choose the column that you're going to fill in your trouble. Asset or liability. But now you choose. See, in accounting, there's slate sheets. There's columns. You're looking for the bottom line. And this is what, now listen, it's a choice. Now notice what he said here. Watch it now. Brethren, my brethren, count it all joy. You know what that means? That means you have a choice. Now listen carefully. When God allows a trial in my life, when God allows a trial in your life, I get to choose if I'm going to count that an asset to my life and my growth and my faith, the purifying of my faith, or if it's going to become a liability to me. Now I get to choose. See, I'm not some helpless victim. I get to choose. And you get to choose. See, somehow we've gotten to the place in our Christian experience where we believe that we don't get to choose if we're going to be thankful or not. You do get to choose. See, I don't get to choose what comes my way, but I do get to choose how I'm going to react to it. You do too. Say, amen. And the only way that I'm going to react scripturally is if I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. It's the only way. It's the only way. And so here's what he's saying. Brethren, The presence of trouble is going to come. When? When it comes, you get to choose what column you're going to put it in. Is that trouble going to be an asset to you and grow your faith and conform you to Jesus and make you a better person, or are you going to have to put that in the liability column and it discourage your faith and it make you to where you will be more of yourself and full of yourself than like Jesus? And most of the time, I found in my own Christian experience, I have to take that test again, because I didn't get out of it what God wanted to teach me in that process. All right? You got it. Everybody with me? Verse 2, right? Look, write this down. The presence of trouble. It's coming, brethren. Trouble's coming. Now, some of you are experiencing trouble tonight. I don't take it lightly when I hear people say, you know, I'm discouraged or I'm going through a hard time. I don't always show my feeling. Not always. But I'll tell you this, brethren. I think about my flock. And I pray for you. And I believe you think about me and you pray for me. And I think you think about one another and pray one for another. We belong to a praying church. We belong to a people that understand the power of prayer and the power of love and care for one another. We know what it is to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. We understand that. I'm thankful to God that I belong to a fellowship of people that way, aren't you? I thank the Lord for that. That when I mention that I'm facing a hardship or a trial, that people don't just blow that off and don't care. I'm thankful that people care. Well, here James says you're going to have. Now, the presence. Now, let me give you a couple more things, all right? It's hard to leave, but I want to give you verse number 2. There is one other word I want you to look at. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall. You see that word fall? Now, just write out, and I'm not going to turn there. I was going to tonight, but because of time, there's something I want to get to. I want you to write down Luke 10:30. Now, remember when the Good Samaritan was on the road, all right, to Jerusalem from Jericho. The Bible says in Luke 10:30 that he fell among thieves. That word fell is the same verb that's used here, fall, but just in a different tense. Same word. So what does that mean? This word means that it just surrounds you. It's just almost like it ambushes you. It comes on you unexpectedly. So what's that mean? That means that trials in life, we can be going along, and then all of a sudden, brethren, I mean, like Job, one messenger after the next, one day after the next, just trouble after trouble after trouble. And before you know it, you can go from the peak of a mountain to the lowest point of a valley. And it can all happen so quickly. How many of you know what I'm talking about? I mean, it can happen, brethren. That can happen. And I realize there's some in our church congregation, you're there now. And you need prayer. Don't you ever be ashamed of that. Don't you ever count that as weakness. That's a part of the process. All right? What you need to do is, you say, I'm going to man up, preacher. No. Now, this is not a physical thing here. This is not about manning up. This is about bending down. This is about submitting. This is about trusting one another, praying for one another, investing in one another. All right? So that word fall was really interesting. And if you'll go over to Luke 10 sometime, don't do it now. I'm going to finish up here and find out where that man fell among thieves, okay? He fell among thieves. It's like he was surrounded. He was ambushed. Hey, listen, troubles, they're unsought and they're unwelcome, but they come nonetheless. Right? Yeah. So, James said, all this, all right, got all these kind of troubles, and man, I mean, they're coming at you, they're surrounding you, it's like they ambush you, and he said, this is what I want you to do. I want you to count it joy. That's not what he said. Maximum joy. There's joy, and then there's all joy. Is that what he said? Look at the wording very carefully here. Hey, just in the last couple of weeks, God showed me this. All right, I used to think joy, but I never thought that. Well, you know what? It doesn't say joy. I knew it didn't say joy, but I never thought there's a reason it doesn't say just joy. He said, "I want you to count it the maximum joy. I want you to count it all joy." when this is happening to you. So now I go from my reasoning and understanding to, I wouldn't understand if I'm being told to do that if it was just count it joy. Right? But I'm not told to just count it joy. You're not told to just count it joy. We're told to count it all joy. Maximum joy. How can we do that? Well, I'm glad Scripture explains Scripture. Look at verse 3. Knowing this. Oh, because we're in the know. God teaches us things. So we go from the presence of trouble to the process of trouble. Don't you miss this now. The process. I want you to know some things. I'm glad that God teaches us things, aren't you? See, I'm thankful for the day as a pastor. Now listen, I had to be taught this, and I'm still learning. That when a couple gets saved, I'm not going to expect this couple. Now listen to me carefully. To conduct themselves and go about life as this couple. That's foolish. Because we're in the know about some things. See, when you get saved, you begin to see how God deals with people. You learning that in your life? God deals with people a certain way. God's consistent. Right? He's immutable. It means he doesn't change. He's consistent in his dealings with man. And here James said, there's some things that you know. And if you don't, you will learn them. And when you begin to learn them, that's when you can count it all joy. You can get excited because you know God is getting ready to take me to another level in my faith. God's getting ready to elevate my life. God's getting ready to expand my usefulness. God is getting ready to do something that's going to make me a better asset for his glory. I tell you right now, when you get to thinking about who God is and where he found you and what he's doing in you, to know that God is still working in our lives, it is something to count it all joy about. Amen? He says, so get excited. God's at work in your life. See, God's not trying to beat you down. God's building you up. The devil tries to beat you down. God's building you up. God's going to use this trial and make it a blessing in your life. How, preacher? Well, first of all, he's going to build and strengthen you. But second of all, there's people in this local assembly, they're watching you. You say, preacher, people don't watch me, they all watch you. Don't kid yourself. There's people watching you. They watch you. They watch what happens when bad things come your way. They watch what happens when sorrow and when the enemy comes on and rushes in like a flood. They watch. And when they see you, when they see the brethren stand up to the test and press on and persevere through the hardships and trust God and let God work in their life, it encourages their faith. I know it does mine when I see it in your life. I know it does mine. And I believe it does yours too. I believe it does every believer's that'll watch. Notice what he said here. And I'm just going to mention these and we'll close. I'm going to go a little deeper next week, but I want you to watch this. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience or produces. And this is the process. Okay? Now, I want you to notice what he said here. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. All right. So we have here in verse number 3, the process. God is going to allow trouble in our lives for the process of increasing some things in our life. Could be patience. It could be to purify our faith and to strengthen our faith. How much faith do you have? What if I had a microphone here, and I do, but it's behind my ear. And I came around and I asked you, hey, how much faith do you have? Do you know you'll never know until you're tested? You'll never know until you're tested. And then you'll know. See, tests are good for us. We don't like tests, okay? There's a lot of things in life, and I could go through them on a list here, okay? I've got my own personal list, and you have some too, that we just don't like. At the top of my list is doctors, okay? If you're in here and you're a doctor or someone that you love is a doctor, I'm sorry. Top of my list, all right? Just not my favorite thing. Not far. However, sometimes they can be good for you. And I do want to reiterate sometimes. But so are many other things. Well, trials are that way too. Testings are that way. They're good for us because it shows us where we are in our Christian experience. There's a man I read after who says that a faith that cannot be tested cannot be trusted. And you know what? I agree with that. How can you know that your faith is up to the test if it's never tested? And so here's what he said. You want to know where you are? You don't know if you really believe God. I can stand up here all day and, I mean, I can beat this pulpit and say, I believe God, I believe God, Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday. But when a test comes, it's going to show if I really believe God or not. Right? I trust God, I trust God. I can say it until the cows, whatever, jump over the moon. Is that what they do in fairyland? I don't know. But you know what? Until the trouble comes and I exercise faith and I trust God, we're never going to know. It's all just verbal. So he said, now, you want to know some things? You want to know some things? Look at verse 3 now. You want to know some things? Then here's what you have to do. You have to understand that the trying of your faith worketh patience. He's going to teach you what it is to wait on God and to trust God, and to understand you don't have the answers. And in many, many instances, no man does. Only God does. And God knows what's best. That's what trials and testing is going to do in our lives. Look at verse 4, and I'll say this, and we'll turn back to 1 Peter. The purpose. But let, and that will, I want to come back to that word let. See, some people won't let it happen. They fight it. Every time something goes wrong, they quit church. They'll quit reading their Bible. I quit on God. God doesn't love me. Hey, listen, I understand that there's times that people don't understand, but the time that you need God most is when you're going through what you're going through. Listen, if you're having family problems, you need to be in church. If your faith is wavering, if you're going through a low spell, you need to be here. Because here is where people are to exhort one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. Right here is where it's happening. You're not going to get any of that outside of here. All right? And so sometimes we have to look again in verse number 4, but let patience have her perfect work. Let God do what he's attempting to do in your life. Is that what he's saying? Yeah. Don't rebel against what God's doing now. Don't do that. Let it happen. All right? Let it happen. And if you will, something will happen. Look here right in the middle of verse, that ye may be. God's going to make you something. All right? God's getting ready to make you something that ye may be. God's getting ready to do something in your life that you may be. He's going to take you to another level. Perfect. That word means mature. And we'll come back to these next week because I want you to turn to 1 Peter and I want to show you something. Now, I'll show you this verse and we'll close tonight. Remember that word manifold. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. The word manifold and the word divers are used interchangeably by Peter and James. Now, James never mentioned the grace of God in relation to the divers temptations, but Peter mentions the grace of God in relation to the manifold trials. Now, why did Peter do that? Well, I'm going to tell you why I believe he did it. Because Peter was a man who's looked Jesus right in the face and told him, he said, you know what? You see these guys over here? They would probably forsake you, but me now, I would never forsake you. And Jesus said, well, I'll tell you what I've done, Peter. I've prayed for you that your faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. In other words, Peter, you are going to do it. But I'm not going to give up on you. And Peter learned something very valuable that you need to learn tonight, and I'm glad that I've learned it. And some of you know it. For every trial, I'm glad there's grace. Hold your finger in 1 Peter chapter 4 and turn back to 1 Peter chapter 1. The latter part of verse 6 says, there's heaviness through manifold temptations. That word manifold means, literally now, various, a palette of paint. It's like a color for every trial. Every trial. You know what? You say, how many colors are they? Well, you go by the paint store tomorrow and get a paint chart. Man, I used to never be confused about what color I wanted my walls to be. There are so many colors. I mean, listen, they are like 500 shades of blue. I'm not exact. Listen, a paint chart now is this thick. A paint chart. All different colors. Now, I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of trouble too, aren't there? There's a lot of different troubles. Just because you don't have them all doesn't mean they don't exist. Now, you have your share of them, and I have my share of them. But I'm going to show you what God's got. Turn over to chapter 4, and notice what Peter shares with us, and this is where we'll close tonight. He said, as every man, and I like this, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of, and here's our word, the manifold grace of God. For every manifold temptation, there's a manifold grace. Can I tell you what Peter's trying to teach us here by the Holy Ghost? He's saying for every trouble you have, God's got the answer. Amen. For every trouble, every trial, every discouragement, every despondency, every challenge, God has grace that'll meet that need. And brethren, He does. Now, I don't know what you're going through tonight. I don't. I have no way of knowing. And even if I did, I'm limited in what I can do. But we have a God who knows all that you're going through. Much of what we are going through, God permits it. He permits it. He allows it. All of it. But some of it He sends to us. And there's a purpose in it. But I want to tell you something. Don't you think that God's left you there alone. God is trying to teach us to exercise our faith to draw from His grace. God's trying to teach us what it is to depend on Him. Do you depend on God? I mean, for everything. That's a hard question to answer, honestly, isn't it? Do you depend on God for everything? I hope God has taught you that. If you haven't learned that, you're in trouble. You are. Because when trials come your way, it's not going to make you better. It's going to make you bitter. There's too many bitter Christians today. You say, preacher, I have every reason to be bitter. Well, that's debatable. There's no need to debating things that are not relevant. What's relevant is you get to choose. Are you going to count it all joy or not? Now, that's what's relevant. You can either count it all joy or choose not to. What column are you putting the trials and the discouragements and the anxieties and the fears? What column are you putting them in? Liability or asset? Now, you get to choose. I can't choose for you. I have to choose for myself. I pray you make the right choice. It's going to determine what kind of Christian you are, and it's going to determine what kind of service we render. Let's all stand. James is a great book. It's a book that discusses behavior patterns, and what God is looking for in our lives as believers because of life. And I pray that God would teach us what it is to trust Him, to draw from His grace, to be strengthened, to have our faith purified and exercised. Let's bow our heads together.